When you feel like uneasy, that's the time that you actually need to lean into having the conversation. If you bury that, that is going to create all sorts of mental and physical problems that you might not even know are related to that feeling that you buried.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today is going to be awesome. We're going to discuss how to recognize patterns in relationships that may hold you back and how to break them. And we'll also discuss the key things that you need for a relationship and how to provide those for yourself. So today, and a lot of days in the future, we're going to be joined by Yvonne. How are you, Yvonne?
Good. Hi, everybody.
Yvonne is my partner in life and partner in Brad Chandler Coaching. So we are going to share with you what we have learned on our journey of this beautiful thing called life. So you ready to dive in, Yvonne?
Absolutely. Let's get started. We can share so much insight and value, not just by talking at you, but we're going to share what's going on with us and what's gone on with us in the past. So we're actually walking our talk and happy to share with you guys in case it's helpful for you in your life, in business or relationships. So Brad, let's get started with our first question. So what's the recurring emotional script in your love life in the past and present? And how have you been the director of that narrative?
So my recurring emotional script, not is, but was in my life, was one of looking for someone to heal the pain from my childhood wounds. So I felt not enough based on how my dad treated me. So I was looking for someone that was similar to my dad that I could repair those relationships with. And so it didn't always go so well, because if you feel like you're not enough and you don't have worth, you almost always go match with another person that's kind of at your same level. And that's what happened. So it's difficult. It's difficult to have a deeply connected, committed relationship with someone when you are both fighting for your worthiness. So that was my narrative. It was to find someone that I can repair that I couldn't do as a child.
So Brad, that's your narrative now that you know what was driving it. For our listeners that perhaps haven't done the deep subconscious work and understood how their childhood was driving it, what would be the narrative? Like, what do you think? Like, what would it look like for somebody that hasn't done the work?
Well, I mean, there's two interesting paths someone takes when they have kind of these childhood programming. One is they get into a codependent relationship where everything the other person does, it's just okay, because if that other person left them, their whole identity would leave with them, right? So you and I know people like this and have been in these relationships for years, and their marriage is really not strong at all, but they stay because each of them are looking at the other as a validation. The other path you take is that you argue a lot. You have to be right. Your spouse and your kids are constantly triggering you. When something small happens, it blows up into a large thing. So that's what happened a lot with me. My ex-spouse would come to me. She would say something that she was upset with, and I would immediately turn it on her. It would turn into a big fight. And then for 3 days, I would be completely cold and distant to her. And I didn't know why, but now I do know why, because my subconscious brain was saying, "You're not enough. See, she's proving it." And I went into fight or flight, and I had to protect myself. And that's how I did it.
Absolutely. So kind of similar for me. If you think about the root cause of unhappiness in your relationships, like for me, I had high expectations. I almost thought, if I'm in a relationship and they really love me, they'll know what I want. And they'll do it without me asking. And if they don't do it without me asking, then they don't love me. A resentment start building up. And I thought, well, I'm living by the golden rule, give unto others as you would be given to, right? So I would give unto others, but the other part wasn't happening back. And I thought then there was something wrong, but I just hadn't had the courage or enough self-confidence, or wasn't taught. Like, I changed it from the golden rule to the platinum rule. give unto yourself as you want to be given to, so that then you can give unto others. So I was always looking for somebody else to give me what I wanted without telling them.
And I learned
that didn't work out so well.
I learned that firsthand. At the beginning of our relationship, I would often ask, what do you want? And you're like, I don't want to tell you. And I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like, what is she talking about? She doesn't want to tell me. Like, how am I ever going to figure it out? And of course, we worked through that, but that was a source of frustration and irritation for me at the beginning, because I wanted to give you what you wanted, but you wouldn't tell me what you wanted.
Yeah, you were supposed to know. I think I'm unique for many reasons. I don't think I'm unique in that reason. I think quite often we want our partner to be a mind reader, because if they don't know what we want, then are they paying attention to us, right? And for me, that now I know came from my childhood programming, right? I wanted some attention because I didn't always have family at my ball games, right? I didn't feel enough. And I thought, oh, to feel special, somebody has to know what you want and to show up without you asking, and you don't ask. So that was a big emotional script in my love life that I was the narrative of. And it wasn't until I started to realize, like, oh, okay, fine. He actually cares about me. That's why he's asking me. In the beginning, I'm like, well, that's kind of lazy. Don't you want to pay attention and figure out what I want?
This probably was a negative factor in most of your relationships, right? You, as your childhood programming was that your parents didn't show up, so you wanted attention without having to ask for it, which makes perfect sense. But you had no idea what was driving you. How did you figure that out? And how can other people figure that out?
Absolutely. So let me get this like succinct. I have a much longer story that we don't have time for. But to be super succinct, actually, it was through you introducing me to rapid transformation therapy and leveraging, you can call it hypnosis, you can call it a deep meditative state, you can call it whatever you want, but really it's a way to get past your overthinking conscious mind to your subconscious and think about what happened to you as a kid. And it doesn't even have to be bad, right? It just has to be like perhaps less than perfect. And guess what? Nothing's ever perfect. So everybody probably has something that could have been better in their childhood that created these programs that were driving their behavior today. And through that subconscious work, I remembered all the things that had happened to me in the past. Some people don't. Some people figure those things out. But the magic for me was tying what those things were in my past and how that impacted me in today's world. And then realizing like, oh, it doesn't have to be that way. So rather than playing a victim of like how it was always done and how everybody else around me saw the world, I was able to write my own narrative and create my own truths.
So are things better now that you don't want your partner to figure everything out and you can just ask for what you want?
Yes. And it's even better because most of the time he helps me get what I want.
Very nice. So tell me this, if you could pinpoint a moment of truth that triggered a shift in how you approach your relationships, what would it be?
For me, for us, because we're talking about what we did here, ladies and gentlemen, like we're not making this up. I had been driven a lot by fear and judgment. I grew up with a lot of fear and judgment, not necessarily even a terrible way, just the fear of the unknown. You know, will there be enough money? Always have to like, don't take too many risks because you might not be sure what happens. Even society judges us a lot. How much money do you have? What are your grades when you're a kid? Like all this judgment was just built up in my programming. And when you and I first started dating, because we both are divorced and we both had past wounds, even in our adulthood and our relationships, we were struggling for, it was almost like, who's doing the most in the relationship, right? One of our first moments of tension was like, who's driving to whose house more often? And I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm not going to keep score on that. If you don't want to come see me, I'm out. And that was a frustration point for us. But then we got together and Brad, you were amazing because you're like, this isn't about who's driving where. This is about how we felt in our childhood and in our past relationships. Like the thing that you're fighting about is usually never the thing that's actually right in front of you. That's what you taught me. And so the shift for me was when I was like, this is not what I want. And I'm going to choose for myself and ask you if you wanted to choose the same. Letting go of fear and judgment of the person you're in a relationship with and of yourself, and leading into trust and love. Because if you're in a relationship with somebody, shouldn't it be about trust and love? If nobody else, shouldn't be able just to be fully in trust and love without fear or without judgment? Like, that's the relationship that I want. That was the turning point for me and for us, I think, for me. What about you?
Let me just hit something you said that was really important, because I think once you get this, it is a life-changing, relationship-altering moment. The thing that you're arguing about is hardly ever the actual argument itself. When you feel a negative emotion, you are in a fight or flight state. So what does that mean? It means that you are looking for danger. Your thousand-year-old person is looking. We've been in this world for hundreds of thousands of years. Evolution has taught us that when we feel danger, we're looking for that lion. So when you're looking for that lion, what do? Your brain goes back to the last time it saw a lion or some dangerous event. So all you're really doing when you get in an argument, your spouse says something that makes you upset, angry, or mad. But it's not what they did that made you mad. It's going back to a time, usually in your childhood, where someone did something that was similar that made you feel a certain way, and you're bringing that in the moment. When you can make that shift, then everything changes, because you actually can stop and pause. And if we have time at the end, we'll go with this amazing tool that we created called the Joy Regenerator that will show you exactly how to use this. But when you can make that shift, you can actually pause and be in the moment and be like, wait, this has nothing to do with the argument. So I'm going to see this as it is and process it. And then as a couple, I mean, this is what we do all the time, not all the time, fortunately, because we don't get in that many disagreements. But when we have conflict once a month, twice a month, we know that it's not from the actual thing. So we can both process it without getting super upset and attacking each other. And then conflict actually draws you closer rather than further apart.
Absolutely. And I would share with people that it gets easier, right? The more you practice, the easier it gets. I can remember first starting having these conversations where I'm like, okay, he wants me to speak my truth and say what I'm feeling and say what I'm thinking. But in my past relationships that either blew up into a big fight, so that was the fight part, or it was flight. And I had to walk on eggshells because the gentleman, lovely as he was, couldn't handle like any discussion about anything that was deep. And so every single time I'd bring something up, I thought, oh, this relationship's over. Like, this is it. And through practice.
In our relationship, you're talking about too, right?
Yeah, it got easier to bring up because every time, like Brad said, it did bring us closer. And so the more often you do it, the closer you get, and then the easier it gets, because then you feel safer. Like, you don't feel like, oh, this is going to blow up, or I'm not sure where this is going to go. You get predictability that you'll become closer versus the uncertainty of, is this going to be a fight or is this going to be a flight? So the tools and the things that we're telling you about today, we don't expect that they're going to feel natural or easy when you first start. It didn't for me. If it does for you, that's awesome. But it didn't for me. But what I can tell you is that once you start doing it and you do it out of trust and love and not out of fear or judgment, it gets easier and easier and better and better. And then you get more of what you want, because then you learn how to talk about it and ask for it.
Yeah. So guys, avoiding conflict isn't healthy in your personal relationships or business. If you've ever read the book, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni, it's an amazing book for business. And one of them is avoidance of conflict. If you avoid conflict, you are avoiding the tough conversations and being vulnerable that will actually draw you closer in an intimate relationship or even a business relationship. I remember dating someone before I had done the work, and I remember bragging a couple months into it We even had one disagreement. She hasn't complained about anything, hasn't argued with anything. And the person was like, well, that's not healthy. And I thought, well, why isn't it? And now I know why it's not healthy, because it was likely a codependent relationship. She didn't want to say anything that was going to upset me and possibly lead me to push her away. So huge, huge thing there is don't avoid conflict. Just deal with conflict knowing that it's not about the actual moment that you're having a conflict about. It's something in the past. And if you do that, it makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. And I'll add one thing that's a clue when you need to lean in versus lean out and avoid. The more that you tune into the sensations of your body, like the mind body is connected. So the more you lean into it, when you feel something, like when you feel a tension in your chest, maybe in your solar plexus, in your shoulders, in your head, like when you feel like uneasy, that's the time that you actually need to lean into having the conversation. Because if you bury that, that is going to create all sorts of mental and physical problems that you might not even know are related to that feeling that you buried. So tune into your body sensations when you are in a situation, and anytime you just don't feel right, use your voice in trust and love to talk to the person that you're engaging with to talk about what doesn't feel right in a non-aggressive manner.
Just like when you have a temperature or a headache, it's your body's internal alarm system saying something's wrong. So when you feel that negative emotion inside of you, just like Yvonne said, if you run from it, that's not going to help anything. If you turn to booze or sex or alcohol or weed, anything like that, those are all temporary fixes outside of yourself. Everything you've ever needed to be happy is inside of you. So just deal with those emotions. We're trying to get to a place in our lives that we call ultimate liberation. And what is ultimate liberation? It's not allowing any person or any situation to negatively affect you. Well, if that's where you want to go and that's your goal in life, every time you feel this negative emotion, instead of looking at it like, oh, woe is me, I've got to deal with conflict, think to yourself, almost gamify it, that, oh, I get an opportunity to practice moving towards liberation. And like Yvonne said, it was really hard for her as I pushed her in the beginning of the relationship to open up and talk to me, because her past wounds led her to believe the falsity that if she told me these things, I would run from her. And it's just the opposite. As she's told me these things, we've moved closer to each other. It's one of these things in life. There's hundreds of them. I think I'm going to write a book one day called The Opposite Things in Life. Is you think by saying what is bad is going to drive you away, but if it's done in the right way, it actually brings you closer.
So Brad, before we go to our next question, can you give them an example? Say you're in a comfortable situation, you're feeling something, using our joy regenerator, how could you approach me in a way that's not going to trigger me or be emotionally charged to talk about something that's bothering you?
Sure. I mean, what you mentioned something to me, I don't know, one of the evenings that we were in Florida recently, and I said to you, what you just said made me feel nervous. I didn't say this part, but I should have. I said it and I just was quiet. So I'm not perfect either. I'm working on stuff, but at least I mentioned my emotion. What I should have said is, Yvonne, what you just said made me feel nervous. It's not your fault. Can we discuss it? So I'm opening him up. I'm saying, I'm explaining what you did just made me feel this way. How was it in every other relationship that I've ever been in? If you would have said that thing that made me nervous, I would have attacked you. Not in a terribly mean way, but I've been like, look, you need to work harder, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. And then what do? You turn around and you attack back because you're fighting for your worth too, right? It is so different now to be able to say, this is how I'm feeling. Can we work through it together? And then we work through it together. And even that situation that we're talking about, when everything was done, I had a better understanding of where you were coming from and vice versa. And now the air is cleared. But it either ended it in a complete conflict and attack, or it was never mentioned. And then I harbored it. And then I let 30 things build up. And then boom, well, you did this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and that, and that. And then that never goes anywhere good.
Yeah. So I think this is a perfect one, because you want to include a couple things, right? You want to let the person know how you're feeling. let them know it's not their fault. So you're not coming from a place of judgment. This is what I'm feeling. It's not your fault. I'm processing it. Can you help me talk through it and process it? And it's not a trick, meaning, oh, it really is your fault. I'm just using these words. Like, your energy is really important and your tone is really important. You have to know and embrace that it's not the other person's fault. You're feeling it. You might not know why, but your partner's there to help you work through it. And that was what was really important. Once he put that second piece, when he didn't have the first piece, I was like, he's blaming me for something. I'm out. Because if I stay in, if I don't do the flight, I'm going to do the fight, and I don't want to do the fight. So when he came back around and he's like, it's not your fault, can we talk about it? Then that's where we were able to have a really amazing conversation. So thanks for that example, hon.
Let me be even more vulnerable. I was laying there in bed because this conversation happened at night, and I was feeling anxiety, and I went back to my old self because there was, I would say embarrassingly, but it's not really embarrassing because I was doing the best that I could at the time. There were times, I don't know if it was 10 times, 30 times over the 20 years that I was in two marriages, where that same exact thing would have happened. And I would have laid there feeling that anxiety literally till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I'm not my old self. I'm not a 6-year-old looking for love. And as tough as it was, I overcame those feelings. And I said, hey, can we talk about this? Like, something isn't right here. And so I did. I overcame. It wasn't easy. It was a 5-minute conversation that was a little tough, but each second, each minute that went by, it got easier and easier. You guys can do the same thing. If you're in a crappy relationship, it has nothing to do with the relationship itself, I promise you. It has to do with the way that you feel about yourself and your spouse or your partner feels about themselves. So if you want to fix your marriage, you got to do the work on yourself. Marriage counseling typically doesn't work because they just focus on the symptoms and hold her hand more and, you know, repeat back what she says and go on more date nights. I heard that stuff for way too many years, and it will not work if you feel unworthy. And if you're like, well, I feel worthy, because that's what I would have said 3 years ago if I was hearing this, I developed a quiz just for this reason. So go to bradchandler.com/quiz and take this quiz, and it's going to show you, do you have extreme self-love? If you do, you're probably in an amazing relationship. Your health is probably good. You probably are in a job you like. Or it's going to show you that you have lack of self-love or minor self-love, mild self-love, sorry. If you have one of those two things, I promise you it's getting in the way of your relationships, your health, your business. So don't think, oh, this is stinks because I have lack of self-love. I think probably 7 or 8 out of 10 people who take that self-love quiz fall in that category. But here's the beautiful thing, because Yvonne and I both fell in that category a couple of years ago. Once you move up the ladder to extreme self-love, everything in your world can change in a really profound and amazing way. And we're both living testaments to it.
Yeah, it's 12 questions. It'll take you 3 minutes. And I know sometimes self-love is overused. And I was like, what are you talking about? If anybody knew the Yvonne 1.0, they would have thought, oh, she's super confident. She loves herself, but she actually didn't. But I didn't know that, and neither did they. So it's just pretty insightful. Spend 3 minutes, learn about yourself. And once you learn about yourself, you're going to fall in love with yourself and learn how to love yourself more. And that's not egotistical. Actually, if you don't invest in yourself, you're being selfish because you're not giving everybody else your best self. So do what you need to do to fill your own cup so that you can give from your overflow to your companion, to your kids, to your friends, to your job.
All change begins with awareness. I'm going to say that again. All change begins with awareness. If you don't know what is driving the behaviors that you want to change, how in the world can you ever change them, right? That's why 98% of diets fail. They want to focus on the nutrition and the working out part. Well, if you have a lot of extra weight that you have to take off, there's a reason that you put on that extra weight. Until you find that out, you're never going to crack the calculation of diet and exercise. You've got to figure out the mental part. So the first step to figuring out the mental part is just go take this 3-minute quiz at bradchandler.com/quiz.
Awesome. So let me ask you one more question, Brad. Paint a picture for our community of your ultimate fulfillment, both in your love life and your entrepreneurial journey. Like, how do they enrich each other? How do you not like have to either pick your business or your relationships? How do you have your cake and eat it too?
Yeah, so I'm living it right now. I'm fortunate to have a business, a real estate business that does really well and operates with only an hour a week from my time. About 2 years ago, I came to the epiphany that my intimate partner had to be in the space of happiness, because if they weren't, I was going to drive them crazy, because that's all I want to talk about. I'd love to read. I mean, we read together. We watch Gaia on, you know, tons and tons of Gaia movies, which is this amazing site with all of these video, these deep videos on life and spirituality. So ultimate fulfillment to me is I wanted a partner in this business, Brad Chandler Coaching, because I didn't want to go it alone. And I also wanted to have someone to share exactly my passion and purpose. So I'm living it right now. And that is to be with someone who is on the same journey as I am, trying to become to the state of enlightenment. And it will take us forever. We may never reach it. Who knows? But the journey is this amazing journey where we get to walk hand in hand and try to enrich other people's lives. So I'm fortunate to live it every single day. I wake up every single day doing exactly what I love, and that's to help people radically change their lives by going back to their childhood programming and these limiting beliefs that are buried in their subconscious mind to no fault of their own, and then reversing those so that they can live happy life and have amazing relationships and health.
Yeah, we are pretty blessed. And I would have never guessed. I just ended a corporate career for 25 years. I've always wanted to do something like this. What I would tell you, if you're not feeling like it's available to you, is to start believing that it's available to you. To first take a moment to dream. I didn't dream a lot as a kid because I was trying to do what I was told or what I thought I was supposed to do. So think about what you want to do. Whether you think it's available to you yet or not, just think about it. Dream about it. Start talking to people about it. And I think those are the first steps. Like, if you can't make a big step, those are the first steps that you can take. And then learn to surrender and just trust. You don't have to know how it's going to happen. You don't have to have the detailed plan that's going to get you from point A to point B. But you do have to know where you want to go. Nobody else can tell you where you want to go or what your essence is or what your life purpose is. So start meditating on that and thinking about that. So I think that would be my advice on like what you could do to get started if you can't make a big change. Brad, for folks that perhaps might not have the options that we've been blessed with, right? What would be your advice for folks? What steps could they take today to start thinking about, maybe their partner doesn't want to be in the same business as them, and that's okay too. It's not an all or nothing. What steps could people take, whether they're going to go into partnership with their life partner or not? What could they do today to start like really creating synergy to get the fulfillment between their love life and their entrepreneurial journey? What do you think?
Wow. I think it all starts at the basis of how they feel about themselves, because I could give 30 different strategies to do or think tactics to work on. But until you understand how to love yourself, everything is going to be a struggle in your life. So what can you do short term? You can take the quiz, as we just mentioned, at bradchandler.com/quiz. And then we touched on this tool, this amazing tool that we have called the Joy Regenerator. We don't have time today to go into it. We will in another episode. And I think in past episodes, I've gone into it. But you can go to bradchandler.com/joy and get that tool. And when you get the tool, I'm going to send you an email with a video. It's all free, a video that explains exactly how to use it. You can start using that literally right this second. You can go download it. You'll have it in your inbox in a couple of minutes. And when you get home tonight, you can have a different interaction with your spouse or your kids, or if you go to work the next day, you can have a different interaction with the folks that you work with. So that's what I would say is just, it's not about fixing yourself. It's about returning to your essence of who you are, because at your core, you're an amazing human being. No matter what you've done, no matter where you are in life, you are an amazing individual and human being at your essence. And we just need to help you get back to your essence. That's it.
Awesome.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed it. That was another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. If you like it, please share it with others because we would love to spread this word and grow our community. We're trying to help a million people in these next however many years we're on this beautiful planet. I hope it's going to be 60 years for me. So if you can share it, that's great. And we'll see you on the next episode. And remember, love really does heal all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.